This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, yeah. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Classes in session. Loving these Wednesday classes and sessions. Amazing interviews we had. You know, in fact, we got to talk to Dr. Howard Gardner again. What a incredible interview from, you know, literally a giant talking about multiple intelligences. And then his ability to talk, Johnny, and just, you know, a way too that realized that over the years, there's been a transition and a change in how he's even kind of adopted and adapted some of what he's done in kind of trying to keep this idea of multiple ways of knowing, multiple ways of learning, multiple ways of teaching as being really foundational if we're really chasing after good learning. So there's a nice opening. But Johnny, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. What a great summary of that amazing episode. I mean, I'm excited about that episode with Dr. Howard Gardner. And I would say it's a great lead into today's episode because I'm really excited about today's episode. I'm doing good, man. You know, it's like week three of teaching. The future teachers that I work with are, and they're eager, they're doing well. We're in the classroom. So, you know, listening also to Busted Pencils in class. So that's been really great too. And we're excited about this episode, Tim, because I will share as a little teaser preview before you give our guest today a great intro, but I will say as a teaser, one of the most commonly experienced struggles that my future teachers had as students, and they still have as future teachers, they admit it, is math anxiety and math fear. So a lot of teachers I work with have identified that they are kind of like a little anxious about teaching math as they were about learning math.
Mm-hmm.
As a former math teacher and someone who didn't have math anxiety, man, I love the maths. I was math party all day. That was my jam. So I never fully understood this, but I learned from it. I think it's amazing. It's opening doors for how we can teach better. But now can you give him a formal intro so we can get into this work?
Yeah, let's get into it. He is a trailblazer in mathematics, education, and technology. He's also the creator and founder of Elephant Learning Mathematics Academy, which is empowering students to overcome math anxiety and master years of mathematics in just months. Oh man, he's got a PhD in mathematics and computer science and over 30 years experience as a software engineer, leader, and entrepreneur. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Dr. Aditya Nagarath. Sir, Dr. Nagarath, thank you for coming and thank you for potentially, I know Johnny's not, he's okay. He's one of those math dudes, one of the people I tried to stay away from when I was in school because, well, you made me feel silly and stupid, and I already was feeling that way when I was in math class. So, Aditya, thank you. I'm going to take this all as about, so you're going to finally help me at age 57 get over my math anxiety?
Why not? Thank you for having me.
It's great. We really appreciate it. In fact, this math anxiety, maybe we can start with that, because my sense is that you and Johnny said it's a unique experience for those of us who came up with it. But what would you define over your years, all this work that you've done? Is there a definition of math anxiety? Where does it come from? How is it sustained? Give us some math anxiety 101.
Okay, happy to do it. Well, so like I'll just start with talking about like where does the math anxiety come from? Because I think once you start to understand where the math anxiety comes from, you start to understand what it is better. Wrote the book, Treating Mathematics Anxiety. And in this book, I have this
nice here.
Okay, so what this is this is what every AI system kind of looks like at a very, very high level. You have inputs, you have outputs, and you have this function, and you're hoping like that these inputs could map to these outputs. And the way that happens is you got this training function, which alters the function. So like you just keep passing the inputs and trying to get the training function to alter F so that they match to the output.
Yeah.
And the end result of that is that you're hoping the continuity of F, when given similar inputs, gives you similar outputs. So like the concrete example of this, the inputs are images of like your kitchen, and the outputs are what are the things, right? It's an oven, it's a refrigerator, it's a knife, it's a spoon, right? So this is a really easy AI app that someone could make with like Xcode or something. And if you take that back to where it originated, so like AI was invented because these machines we were making, they didn't learn, right? So the mathematicians thought, like, how could we try to replicate the brain, or in like we learn things, right? And so this was their attempt to replicate that. And if you philosophically ask yourself, what would that be for a human being? The inputs would be your experiences. It would be what you're seeing, what you're feeling, what you're touching, what you're tasting, your senses. And the outputs would be the meaning that you're adding to those experiences. So like, for example, you're walking down the street, you see a little red circle with a little walkie guy in it with the cross line through it.
Yeah.
Don't walk, right? You're adding the meaning, right? Okay, so like when it comes down to any endeavor that a child, a student, a person wants to go on, say I want to learn basketball, say I want to learn piano, say I want to whatever, right? The belief system sort of starts to boil down to I can do this or I can't do this. Hmm. And so like the math anxiety is the idea that I can't do it as applied towards mathematics.
All right. So, and just for listeners who were like, wait, what's he was describing a diagram in his book that, of course, if you're listening to the podcast too, we're going to have links to make sure that you can have access to this book. Because again, if this is already people, I can see listeners out there going, oh man, that was me. Math anxiety, a lot of people, or Johnny, what's this little note here? Tim, you didn't have to avoid me.
Well, Tim, I was just actually clapping back at you and said, don't mislead the listeners. You weren't avoiding me because I was good at math.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll keep it whatever other reason.
We can open that some other time. But, and most people didn't know I was good at math. I just really loved maths the whole way. Dr. Aditya, I love this work, and it's really helping us think about how not even children, just different learn. It's so much of math is math teachers struggle. I mean, being a math teacher, I lucked out because I loved math, and my expertise in math and my love for math permeated through like the different ways I could teach it. I loved the challenge of teaching it different ways and figuring out how students could connect to different concepts, how they could move at different speeds, right? And I was a rare kind of math teacher who was kind of like that combination of expertise in the content area and pedagogical strategies that allowed for me to be that kind of math teacher. Most of my peers still to this day are like, put the math problem up on the board, practice the math problem, do some more practice. Here, let me just do that problem again on the board or on some kind of overhead. And so supplemental instruction, tutoring, all kinds of things are really important for math learners right now. I'm just curious, picking your brain, our listeners, a lot of teachers are out there, right? A lot of math teachers. What can they do to help address math anxiety, but also help support the fact that sometimes students just need to connect with other students. Sometimes they just need to have things explained in ways we could explain as their teacher 150 times. And they're still just going to say, I don't understand anything you're saying. But yet their friend or their tutor explains it and boom, it clicks.
There's a lot there. Let's start with the first thing, right? So like to address math anxiety, there are two steps. The first step is you have to believe in the student. You have to tell them that you believe in them. And then the second step is that you have to meet them at their level of understanding. So the last thing that you said was like, I'm never going to get this. If you're kind of above their level of understanding, that's the feeling they're going to get, because they don't understand any of the words or ideas that you're talking about. So you got to get back down to their level of understanding and meet them there. If you can do these two things, they're going to start to believe you. They're going to start to believe that you can do it, because they'll be witnessing themselves do it at their level. And so that's kind of the high level answer to the question.
That's great. I mean, math teachers and teachers out there, you heard it. Believe in your student. And I love, Dr. Aditya, you said this. Don't just believe in them. Let them know. Show them that you believe in them. Because it's one thing to believe in our students. It's another thing to have that authentic read from them. They said, this guy believes in me, or this gal teaching me math really believes in me. And one of the best ways, and I love this strategy, that you can show students you're truly there for them is learning where they're at and meeting them there. So I love those two things, Dr. Aditya. Let's get back to this though. Tim's still, you know, he's pouting over there with his math anxiety because he got bullied by John. So I'm going to bully him all show.
It wasn't bullying as much as, but you guys are really touching on a part of this that I think really is internal and, you know, outside of kind of the messing and joking around here is that I felt that kind of frustration or even defeatism from teachers who were teaching me math at my, you know, inability. I could feel them kind of putting on me, like going like, I'm explaining it to you. Why are you so stupid? I mean, nobody ever said it like that, right? But Aditya, you're smiling.
That's the tone. I mean, look, I've experienced it.
Yeah, and I you know, like, you can feel it. So as a learner who's facing something that doesn't come right away and challenging, I'm already internally frustrated, and as you say, you know, psychologically, I'm already now almost out of the door of being able to be taught, and then that crucial phase of the math teacher's then next approach to me really either pushes me totally all out the door, or as you're saying, Aditya, if we really want to work with and help more and more and more students dig into math and even move that anxiety, it's like you teacher, you have to understand that in that moment with that child that is, maybe you're looking at them going, I don't understand why they don't get it. Your response is going to be critical to the future of how they then go on through the rest of their schooling years. And I think this is now you're starting to, I'm feeling it. And then by the time I'm, you know, I feel that in elementary school, it gets reinforced in middle school. By the time I get into high school, it's gone. I mean, I have categorized myself, which I'm kind of doing right now as, yeah, I can't do that stuff. I mean, you know, and boy, you think about that. And Johnny, your connection there is like, and I've always said this, the power of a good teacher and what they can do. And I've even talked to future teachers from this standpoint of saying, recognize that you, particularly in traditional undergrads, they're about to graduate 22, 23 years old. They're going to be in front of children. I said, nobody, no profession has as much power, and I use that word power, that you will have with children to either set them in a direction of self-worth, value, positivity, or to set them up for a constant viewing themselves of failure. It's like, that's a power. And I don't know, Aditya, what am I getting too philosophical and revealing my deep wounds as a poor math learner?
I think that, like, the challenge is maybe the empathy with the other side, right?
Yeah.
So, like, the challenge with mathematics is that the language is so fundamental that there is no language to describe what you're talking about, per se, right? You have to give the student an experience. So, like, think about teaching children the colors. I wouldn't be able to describe red to you. It's impossible, right? And so, like, the challenge is as the teacher, when you're trying to think about how to explain this to someone, and it's like, I don't have any other words. What am I going to do? And that's the tone, right? But the other side is like, well, I'm hearing that if I don't get this, I don't get it. I'm stupid, right?
Yeah.
And like, this is the challenge, is that like, when you come out third party and then you look at the entire situation, yeah, for thousands of years, it doesn't appear that like human beings had any way other than, can you just keep adding this stuff over and over again until you know how to do it, until you understand it? Just do that, and then one day you'll get it. I promise. Try. And now here we are, but like, we have these, these educators who are researching, like, what is the exact experience I can give to this kid to teach them what addition is? And it's really effective, because it's like showing them the color and saying, hey, this is red. And like, here, look, do this. This is addition. And so that's the good news, is that like, if you just kind of focus on understanding and then realize that like, yeah, no, I'm picking up understanding, then that's where all of the noise dissipates, because it's the ego that wants you to believe that you can't do it, because then you don't have to.
I will say I use that one too sometimes. Going, I look at it, I go, I don't have that homework tonight because I can't do it. And part of that was more of an attitude of going, I wasn't going to do it because I didn't want to. Johnny Lupinacci, I sound like a really bad student, don't I, man?
Well, not a bad student. We're gonna go easy on you, because you know, you already opened up. You were vulnerable today about you being bullied. So we're gonna get back to, you know, this is exactly right. So many students struggle in math class and have these barriers, and more than just math, but exceptionally in math. So it's great. Dr. Aditya, like, tell our listeners where we can get more of your research, your work, your insight on this.
Sure. Everything we're doing is on elephantlearning.com. So you'll find Treating Math Anxiety. You'll even find our first book, Rethinking Math Learning, though. I like Treating Math Anxiety better.
She gets out. I got a question though too, and we'll definitely put those links in the podcast description, so listeners, you can go out there and get that, because I got to say, there's going to be tons of listeners out there going, wait, really? Somebody might help me with this, or I might have a way to break through to my students. Yeah, you said something though, and I want to ask you this question: language. I remember when I first actually started to grasp why I might not have really understood math. I was an associate professor at an institution, and we were a small institution. So the mathematicians, the education professors, the economics professors, we all were in the same building. And so I got to spend a lot of time with, you know, math faculty, doctors in mathematics like you. And I remember him lamenting the frustration that he was having teaching, you know, calculus to college students. And I was pushing him on that, because I said, well, what is it? And finally he said, well, you understand, math itself is a language. And right there I stopped him and I said, well, guess what? We didn't know that it was a language. We didn't know that it was a form of communication. We just saw it as abstract symbols and things that we didn't get. I wonder if that concept of math being a language would be even, you know, helpful or beneficial for that learning, because that whole concept of a language, and I know we're getting close on our time, but I just wondered if you could, you know, comment on that concept or that idea.
Yeah. So what I like to say is this, is that like, the way the Common Core Standard defines understanding multiplication is you're able to see a problem in the real world or a word problem and then identify, these are the numbers and multiplication, I multiply these two numbers, I get the answer, right? And so the challenge is that understanding mathematics in that sense means that math is not useful for you unless you understand. If you memorized your multiplication tables but didn't understand multiplication, and then you got to algebra and you saw 7 times x, you have to be thinking, what does this even mean? Because multiplication has to mean to you. So, like, this is sort of the challenge, and that's what Elephant Learning was designed to help. So we have all of the early age activities from counting through algebra to help you learn mathematics as a language so that you understand it, so you can go in, you understand the teacher in the classroom, you enjoy it. And that, along with treating math anxiety, all of it's on elephantlearning.com.
I love that. And, you know, here's the other thing, just a little plug out there too. Dr. Nagrath, he has taught nearly 200,000 years of mathematics to over 160,000 students. So put that out there. Check it out. Dr. Nagrath, thank you for busting pencils with us.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time. You guys are great.
Thanks.
And now for your moment of zen. Patriotism doesn't mean support of government. Patriotism means support of the principles it's supposed to stand for.
Thanks, everybody, for busting pencils. Appreciate you listening. Make sure you drop us a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Follow us. All that stuff, you're out there. And, of course, download the Civic Media app. Hey, Friday, it's going to be another one of those free throws and face-offs. And Saturday, one whole hour of busted pencils across all the Civic Media networks. And, everybody, you know what? Keep busting pencils.